This is Hyperborean Radio. I'm Ike. With me, as always, is Jeff.
Hello, everyone.
And we just wanted to thank our latest patron, MK. Thanks for joining us. You can also check out more of our work if you'd like on hyperboreanradio.com. And with that, let's get into today's topic, which we've been thinking about doing for a bit, but something recently we saw on X so perfectly encapsulated part of what we wanted to say. I don't think that I can better describe this problem that I've been trying to put into words that we noticed a while ago with the general pagan sphere.
And the worst part is that it was done with all sincerity and with the best of intentions.
Yes, which showed that the problem was on a fundamental level. So I'm not going to say who wrote it because I'm not trying to be attacky here, but this is basically what they said. Just found my dad's old fireman axe. I'm thinking of modifying it and making it look more Norse.
And this is where you can just imagine me hanging my head and slapping my forehead.
So, on the surface, this doesn't look bad. It doesn't.
Right. Like, what's the big deal, bro?
Yeah. What's the issue? What's wrong with this?
I mean, this is something I would do, or any number of other things.
But there is this general issue that has existed in the pagans here for so long that I don't have quite the way to put it, but this sums it up so perfectly, is you are taking something that is truly ancestral, a family heirloom, and you're like, you know what? It's not Norse enough.
Even if your father is still alive, he's still your ancestor.
Yes. Well, that's something people forget, is your ancestors include the living, too.
Yes. A lot of the living, actually.
Yes.
And to make it more Norse. First, what does that even mean? I know what he means. He's going to make it look Viking.
Yeah, he's going to put knotwork and runes and
right.
stuff
Probably
like that.
Probably saw the spike off in the back of it, changed the handle, so on and so forth. But then my question is why? Why does this cosmetic mean so much? Because that's all it is.
Well, and that's the thing. It's just cosmetics. It's just an aesthetic, and it is something we have been railing against in the pagan sphere for a while. We did it with pop paganism. We did it with plastic paganism. We've done a few different podcasts talking about this, but I don't think we've quite hit as specifically on ancestors, mm-hmm. the importance of ancestors. We touched it in Afterlife. We touched it in Ghosts. But specifically how important your ancestors are, both the living and the dead, and how you really don't have to get that strange with it.
Well, and I get it, wanting to change the axe from the modern look to an old look to honor the ancestors. But the thing is this is something that the guy's father. Pretend this is your axe. This is your father's work implement, something that he used. Why do you have to change it to appeal to something that's thousands of years old or 1,000 years old?
Well, actually, it's worse than that, because they're not appealing to something that's 1,000 years old. They're appealing to something that's less than 100 years old.
Yeah,
because so much of the modern Viking aesthetic has popped up in the last few decades.
Right.
It's based loosely on like Conan the Barbarian and Wagner and stuff like that. Like, you actually look at actual Scandinavian stuff, both the old and the new. The Viking aesthetic that you buy from like Grimfrost or whatever has almost nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. But I get the idea of wanting to honor the ancestors, because I'm going benefit of the doubt. That's what he was wanting to do. Wasn't really thinking, oh, wouldn't it be cool if it had this cool aesthetic? But honoring the ancestors. First, your father is the ancestor. Second, it's okay to like take it and have it professionally engraved with your father's name, maybe his birth dates, the years of service, whatever it is. But his name, I get it. That would actually be good. That way he is not forgotten. He is forever tied to this axe. When you or your children or your grandchildren look at this axe, this is something that your father had. You have it now. Maybe your child, if you use it, will think to put your name on it, and maybe it'll become an heirloom in that way, because it's already an heirloom. It belonged to your father. It doesn't need dressed up. I can see restoring it, because he shared a picture of it, and it's a little busted up. Restore it. engrave it with the father's name.
And it's busted up from use. This is a Freeman's tool.
Yeah.
We've talked about Freeman's tool before. It's basically an implement or tool that doubles as a weapon mm-hmm. that represents your profession, your trade, your skill.
Well, and if you're going to, I just used the word restore something like this, you want to keep as much of it as original as possible. So if the handle's broken, see if it can be repaired before it's replaced. Eventually, it will have to be replaced.
Well, and there's this odd habit that is especially prevalent, honestly, in the pagans here. It's actually worse. As much as I'm bagging on this, it's because I have such high standards for pagans. Mm-hmm. It's actually worse in the Christian sphere because they'll just straight up, as soon as they hit the pagan wall, they're like, heretics, heathens, and pretend they don't exist and trace themselves to Rome and biblical times and whatnot. But in the heathen sphere, there's this bad habit we have of ignoring our ancestors.
We try to leapfrog.
Yeah, we basically try to ignore our ancestors for the crime of being not Norse enough. Or not pagan enough. And it's like, I don't think people realize like the cutoff as to pagan and Christian was not a straight line. It was not a clean cut. It was not a piece of the pie was taken out.
Well, and there's some questions that I want to bring up with this. But before that, it comes down to, because this is a symptom. It's not the disease itself. This is the symptom. And part of the symptom is the misappropriation, misuse of words. Norse means north. That's all that it means.
Well, it's like my ancestors are from Germany, like the Alps and Rhineland. Mm-hmm. I've talked to someone from Georgia, which is still a Hyperborean country, even though it's kind of not in Europe. I don't know where the actual cutoff is considered. But he said everyone up there is Norse to me.
Mm-hmm.
So basically all of Europe to the Georgian that I knew was Norse.
Yeah.
It's why the term is so nebulous.
North of what? So what I'm getting at is say what you mean. If you mean Scandinavian, say Scandinavian. If you mean Norwegian, say Norwegian. If you mean Danish, say Danish.
Well,
if you mean Celtic, say that. What type of Celt? Is it the Scots or is it the Irish?
Is it the Britannic? Is it the Gaulish? Is it the Iberian?
Right. And on and on and on. So what kind of Celt do you mean? What kind of Gael do you mean? What kind of German do you mean?
Well, and that's part of the issue is from the outside looking in, all these cultures look the same. And then you talk to an actual Scandinavian or an actual German mm-hmm. or an actual Irishman. It's like, well, yeah, we're all insert group. But those frickers are completely different from us.
Right. Well, and that also leads to this. This thing of equivalency, which I've seen for years now, this god is this equals this god equals this god equals this god, which means that they're all the same god. This is not the case. That is like saying that Frank, who is a box cutter, and Mark, who is a box cutter, are the same person. They have the same job, but they are not the same person.
Well, that ties into another thing, which is the over-academic treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to be a theologian, but there isn't such a thing as a pagan theologian. This is a Christian concept.
Well, and that's where this road of false equivalencies comes in, and it's just full of nothing. It's empty.
Well, it's emptiness.
Yeah, it's just emptiness.
Well, it's
because you're stealing from everybody. And the false equivalencies leads Gaels or Iberians to think that they're Scandinavian, and they're not.
Well, what it basically turns into, and I've seen this more or less argued, is that everybody below a certain line in Europe should be Roman or Greco-Roman
mm-hmm.
because that's easily accessible. And then everyone above a certain line in Europe should be Norse because that's easily accessible. Mm-hmm. This is some of the dumbest, most harmful information and suggestion I've ever heard in my life. Not everyone is Norse. Not everyone is a Viking, and that's okay. Not everyone is a Roman, and that's okay. In fact, most people...
Well, even all the Vikings weren't Vikings.
No, because...
And that's fantastic, actually.
Well, that's the other thing is there's a difference between the sphere and the Vikings. It's a little like saying there's a difference between professional sailors and pirates.
Right. Well, or are the Marines and the Army the same thing?
Or is the are the Marines and mercenary scrubs that get hired in, I don't know, Afghanistan the same thing?
Or mercenary elites. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's we're talking about something that is more both simple and more complex than people want it to be. But the thing is, like, ancestors. When did we start trying to apply 1/16th Cherokee princess rules to Europe?
Yeah.
Like, everyone who's like, I'm 1/8 Viking. First of all, there's no such thing as 1/8 Viking. if you mean 1/8 Scandinavian.
And we know that the genetic people, what's one of those companies? The
23andMe.
23andMe. They will list Viking as a genetic. They're lying to you. Same as the lizard that had its DNA yeah. sent in, and it's like part Georgian and part Irish and part
Ashkenazi Jew, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's if that was real, but I wouldn't doubt it because people have tried their dogs.
Well, I know for a fact that's been done with dogs.
Yes.
Because I know somebody that did it with a dog.
Yeah.
And it came back all kinds of Hyperborean and Jewish and African.
Let's be honest. What they're probably doing is just looking at like Ancestry.com or whatever.
Probably.
Doing stuff like that.
Most likely. Mostly because they've admitted it.
Yeah. It's pretty easy to fuck up with that. But
oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, but on to the actual ancestors, because you can talk about till the cows come home, how people end up really fetishizing like this group or that for any group other than their own, oddly enough. But in the end, you still have your ancestors. Your parents are your parents. Your grandparents are your grandparents. Your great grandparents are your grandparents. There's not really any getting around this. There's no getting around your ancestors or your ancestors. And you can be unhappy that you're German or you're Irish and think, oh, this is so boring. Why couldn't I be something interesting like Shoshone or Aztec? Right. Or
which would be the normies. It's like, why can't I be part? Well, because you're not.
Well,
and that's okay.
Well, and it's not even unique to the pagan sphere. You know, like that joke. In Mexico, all the Mesoamericans think they're Spanish, and all the Spanish think they're Aztec.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a really common thing. And here's something, because I can hear some people out there hollering about, I do my research and I know. Yes, I believe that most people do some level of research. How in-depth? It's going to vary. Some people really in-depth. But here's something to consider. There's the Freedom of Information Act, 1966, in America, and it's the Bologna Act of 1999 in the EU. These, on the surface, apply only to governmental secrets and governmental information, right? So that's not what that means, but it is what it means, especially when you combine it with the Department of Education, which in America was enacted in 1979, or what is it, the EU regulation, which deals with education, 1049, which was signed in, or went into action in 2001. Now, you take these two things and you put them together. What does a government do with that?
Oh, yeah.
It then leads to curated information because it's education. It's education, and the Freedom of Information Act allows the government to control the flow of information. Now it's linked to education, which also ties into your Google searches. Now, this doesn't mean everything is a lie. It just means it's curated. What's pushed forward? What is shuffled off to the side? And which information is disseminated or broken apart? So it's true and it's there, but it's just not pieced together for easy consumption.
Well, it's something people will ask me, like, what book did you get that from? I don't know, like 17 different ones, and I had to put the pieces together.
Right.
So I can't really give you a book list.
Right. Well, and the thing is, whenever you look up anything involving paganism, what's the big three that pop up? Well, actually, it's four now. It'll be the Viking stuff, followed usually actually by Indo-European now.
Whatever the hell that means.
Whatever the hell that means. And yes, I know Indo means indigenous.
Except when it doesn't.
Except for when it doesn't. So if you mean indigenous European, to go back to my previous point, please actually say indigenous European, because it has been co-opted to tie into India and the Dharmic faiths. And this is on all levels that this has been pushed. And then they attach their shit to the actual indigenous Europeans and claim that it's the same, same. Well, it's Indo. Yeah, so say what you mean. But, yeah, on easy searches, you're going to get Viking this and Viking that and Viking everything everywhere. Even the meme where the guys go up to the moon and they see
the Viking ship
and they're like, here too? Yes. Yeah, there's a reason why this is pushed forward. So, yes, you got the Viking and the Indo-European. The other most common ones will be the Roman and the Greek.
Oh, and don't forget Wicca and Druidry.
Oh, yeah, followed by those.
Yeah,
well, because fortunately those have kind of fallen off.
Well, it's because they're mocked and ruthlessly and for good reason.
Right. And this is what's pushed forward by Google, for instance, and all the Google subsidiaries. So when you're looking, we all know Google manipulates the searches. Well, just type in happy white family.
Well, it's because these things are harmless. They're
the powers that be.
Yeah, they're money-making opportunities. They're allowing us to disassociate ourselves from our homes. Everyone's a Viking. Everyone's Roman. Everyone is Indo-European. Just wipe away all your history before that. It's the same shit as the biblical thing.
Well, and I hate to break it to people, but Norwegians weren't really big, giant air quotes here, Vikings.
They were Scandinavian.
They were Scandinavian. They are Scandinavian. But they weren't primarily Vikings. They were primarily farmers and craftsmen. If you look into the history, most of that Viking stuff is attached to Daneland. And how Norway gets involved in that is through peace treaties and familial lines. And saying, well, you're descended of our line, so you owe us stuff. The information's there. It's just not pushed in your face.
Well, and a lot of it is because every 100 years or so, there's a pagan revival.
Mm-hmm.
However, the pagan revival, while the church usually comes out on top and the governing bodies and whatnot, there's a little bit of chaos every time this happens. And it's because the pagan mindset does not condone the governing actions of those two parties because they're both removed from our own nature substantially.
Mm-hmm.
However, so this time they seem to have gotten ahead of the curve so that people don't actually return to paganism. They've been removed from their homelands or home cities or towns at least, so there's no tie to the land.
Grab a hold of an idea.
Yes, because they're not tied to their ancestors. They don't have them in front of them. They don't have their grandmother or grandfather teaching them stuff anymore. They don't have the land that their family's buried on. They don't have the woods or the mountains that they get to spend time in. And then on top of that, there are these ideas that have nothing to do with our own ancestors. They just have to do with an aesthetic, a concept, a new age religion.
Wear your cross. Wear your button-down shirt. Take your family heirloom and chop it up to make it look like a Norse axe.
Well, and that is part of the key that this whole argument of ancestral faith that everyone says, because that's always rubbed me the wrong way. Not the concept of doing ancestral faith or like the faith that our ancestors did or the gods and spirits and way of thinking, the way of our ancestors. Mm-hmm. Because most people that say it always struck me as hollow, and the fireman axe is sums it up better than I ever
it
could.
It almost makes me want to weep because I am. If the person that made this post is listening, I fear that they might have already taken steps. If not, if they're not listening, then I fear that they've already taken steps to destroy an heirloom. They have fooled us, tricked us into devaluing our heirlooms, into devaluing where we came from. I mean, what about your great-grandfather or your great-great-grandfather or grandmother?
Well, we brought this up a couple podcasts ago. We've been taught to view things that are not blatantly pagan as not pagan.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the things that we do with a couple of our friends, isn't it? Where we've been actually watching a cartoon on the weekends, like one or two episodes. And at first, they wasn't quite getting it, I don't think. even though we told them it is so heathen, it is so pagan, there is so packed full. You can tell our people worked on it because it's got all these little things in it. And they wasn't quite getting it because it's just a bunch of characters running around doing things. And then we started talking about the traditional aspects that's going on. And then they started to see it because it's you have the patriarch of the family. His home is the hall for the family. He doesn't force anybody to stay there. They can stay there even if he doesn't like them, and on and on and on. This is very ancestral. It's all around us, and we've been taught to not see it.
Well, it's partly because the ideologies that are pushed forth that are marked as pagan are very much the kind that don't encourage a behavior type. They encourage an aesthetic. Because there is a behavior type, a mentality.
Well, look at the cathedral. Look at the cross. Look at the, what's the proper name of a cross? A crucifix. Look at this wonderful crucifix. Look at this statue. Look at this painting. All that is aesthetics. And aesthetics do matter.
Oh, yeah.
But they aren't the end-all, be-all of everything.
No. Well, and it's something we've brought up before. If you took away all of the stuff, paganism would still exist. If you took away all of the stuff from Christianity, it'd be dead in a month.
Yeah. Quite simply, it would be dead in a month.
Yeah.
And it's dying now. You can tell that it's dying now because they are being so loud and so aggressive right
yes.
now.
Yes. And then here's the thing is, your Christian ancestors are still your ancestors. I mean, 9 out of 10 of them seem to have the...
Most of them were really bad Christians, so you don't have to worry about them going to the Jewish heaven or the Christian heaven. No, 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 no. They probably went to hell, exactly where the church said that they did, except for it's the not the hell that the church describes. It's hell, H-E-L.
Or
the meadow of the ancestors, far more likely, because hell's actually pretty specific for specific groups, I guess. But, yeah, they went to the meadow of the ancestors. If they were decent people, don't worry about it.
Well, and part of what I want to bring up is people will start doing ancestor veneration, which always seems so hollow to me. Not the ancestor veneration itself, but the methodology under which most people do it. And with that, I would just point out the example of your grandparents are your ancestors. Now, you know them in person. You're not about to start trying to do weird stuff to honor your grandmother, your grandfather, or your other grandmother and your other grandfather. However, now let's put this in a situation where you're now the grandparent and your grandparents are long dead and you have a grandchild. Your grandparents are the ancestors, the amorphous ancestors to your grandchild. They probably don't even know anything about them. Now, just push that forward or push it backward and just go grandparent to grandparent to grandparent to grandparent.
You don't have to know their names.
No.
You have proof that they existed because you exist.
Yes, and you inherited their will, their skill. But you don't have to get strange with it because you already know how ancestor veneration works. Like, what? It's that old thing of what would you do if your grandmother was watching most of the time? Like, just looking down at you. I don't know. Like,
I would call her very strange.
Yes. But basically, it's that idea of comport yourself with strength, dignity, and honor, nobility. Be a good and strong individual. That is how you honor the ancestors more than anything else. And you can keep their memory alive if you so choose. You can keep their inheritance, their both the inheritance physical, like a fireman's axe, or you can keep the overall spirit, the tradition, the will of their of them alive. Whether that's a tradition.
Well, because things rot. Things get lost. Things get destroyed. So are the things important? Yeah. But what's more important is the stuff that you was just talking about. It's the memory. It's the will, the nobility, the sacrifice, the virtuousness.
Well, and the thing is, stuff decays. Bones, skin, flesh.
Steel.
Steel, iron, homes. But we can do things to upkeep them. We can do things to build them again, like Wilderman traditions, like Kukeri or Krampus or what have you. There's a lot of them. And those traditions usually pass father to child, usually to son, but daughters get involved sometimes too. And it just goes down the line to the point where we don't know how old these traditions are, like mammothones on Sardinia. We don't know how old that is. It stretches back to pagan times, is generally agreed. I've seen minimums sometimes of like 5,000 years. So like 3,000 years before the birth of the oily Josh.
Yeah, before Rabbi Yeshua showed up.
Yes, before Jesus Christo.
And that is even if he was real.
Yes. Well, that's a whole nother concept. Yeah. But,
well, I've floored Christians, for instance, because they're like, your gods are dead. I'm like, my gods aren't dead. Well, Christianity killed your gods. Then Christianity isn't worth a fuck because it failed. My gods aren't dead because I'm still alive.
Well, and that's the other thing is, down the ancestors that we have, the farmers, the fighters, the warriors, the merchants, the fishermen and the hunters, and on and on and on and on, the seamstresses and the cooks and the bakers and the mothers and the grandmothers, on and on down the way, every once in a while, the gods get involved. Mm-hmm. We are all descended of the gods. And in some cases, yes, there is a specific one named for like a clan or a town or a village or a tribe. But more often than not, it's just generic. We have the blood of the gods. Mm-hmm. And many of us have forgotten if there ever was a specific one accredited it.
Yeah. Well, and forgetting which god doesn't cut you off. It really doesn't. Because odds of you knowing your four-time great-grandfather, direct lineage through your mother. Yeah, odds are you probably don't know.
Well, and then,
and even if you do, it's just a name.
Well, and there are commonalities in our stories, but they're not like commonalities in the same way that people want them to be, like mm-hmm. this and this is the same. It's more like trying to explain the same element of our nature. Like one of the common ones is we come from the forest, we come from trees. Whether you have Ask in Embla, you have the ash tree, I think there's one in like mm-hmm. Greek mythology. German mythology, where you have Frau Halle, who is like part tree, making the Hessians. There's all these different versions.
Plural, by the way, because this is another thing that ends up happening. And again, the axe is a symptom of this. The singular tribe. We all come from a very singular tribe. There's a few names flung around, whether it's Aryan, Yamnaya, that's another big one.
It's all made up bullshit.
There's another one that's like the Nameless Tribe. Okay, that doesn't matter because here's the thing. If you examine that story, it's just the Bible story again.
Oh, yeah. If you look up the original like Proto-Indo-European languages, there's even obvious signs. It's to try and prove the Tower of Babel.
Well, they used to actually write it. Like, I don't think it's on the Wikipedia anymore. I think that it was taken off from the Wikipedia. But if you read the old books, yeah, it was specifically to link the European languages to Hebrew.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't do it without going through Sanskrit.
Yes. Well, because if you look up, like, the list of Indo-European languages, Hebrew is often listed among them.
Yeah.
Like, they'll try to compare, like, biblical figures to European pagan figures.
And it's just a fucking mess. But the idea of us all coming from a single tribe. Okay, well, you see, the Neanderthals were this completely different creature. And then humans came in and conquered them and bred with them. And that's why we have the Neanderthal DNA. That's still just a Bible story. Because no matter how you break it down, it comes down to a single tribe. You break that down, it comes down to one man, one woman. Where the fuck have we heard that story before?
Well, and here's the thing, is they're increasingly admitting that the Neanderthal were just us. Now, they might not be the exact tribes, but I really doubt that we would have 100% the exact same tribes now as 50,000 years ago.
Well, they would have been spread all over the fucking place prehistory anyways. I mean, like, pre.
Yes. But in general, with ancestral gods and ancestral this is, it's just trying to communicate the same concept. Like the older stories have tribes of people. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things Tolkien got right, like when in his thing with like the elves are made and there's like
there's
three separate tribes.
Why he used that example, it's because he kept running across it in mythology.
Yes. Now if you get the more modern ones, the newer ones in the grand scheme of things, they've turned it into two. But I think there's even like a Scandinavian folk tale of like a whole forest an us coming from that or the Scandinavians coming from that.
Yeah, and the edits, it's Ascanambla, so it starts from two. One male, one female. It's two. That's just the Bible story represented in a different way. But there are Scandinavian tales where the people just came out of the forest.
Yes, and there might be some mystical element to it, but not always.
To be honest, it's not just Scandinavians that say that. There's a lot of different groups where, I don't know, we've just always been here. People just came out of the forest.
Yeah.
We've always been here.
Well, and it makes sense because you're trying to explain something to people that is just considered known. Like, if you live in a forest until you don't, what do you say? Like, we come from the forest.
Mm-hmm. Well, and depending on who you talk to and when and where and all the circumstances, they might say, I don't know, we've always been here for as far back as we have stories. And then others who lost their forest, we came from the forest. There was once a great forest here. We remain, the forest does not.
Yes, through whatever means happened to it. Or another common thread that typically, it's not always. None of these are like 100% well, like
every. The
Greek
one's kind of pretty.
Yeah.
Where it's the flowers, the field of flowers.
Oh, yeah.
They have other ones, but that's the one I like. It's the people are like flowers. They just kind of came up everywhere.
Well, and that's something we covered in like all fiction and fantasy and canon and a few different ones, which is just because the story is only meant to be symbolic does not make the gods involved only symbolic. Mm-hmm. Like, you can use, we use the deities like we use them now, which is we use them in new stories that, like, nobody thinks Thor the Dark World really happened.
Well, I find it odd that those are actually some of our least popular episodes, and I do recommend that you go listen to them. For whatever reason, whenever we're talking about stories, it's like people don't want to listen. But I do recommend that you go listen to them because we're, even if we're talking about who was it that you just mentioned? Thor in the Dark something or other?
Thor in the Dark World or any of those Marvel movies.
Even though we might be using that as an example, that's all it is. It's just an example. So because our stories are so important to us, and I'm going to drag it right back to that axe again. That axe is a story. It is a story of the guy's father as a firefighter.
Well, that's actually a very heathen message that has shown up in a few different mediums. Oddly enough, Bob's Burgers did a whole episode that was all about like this family heirloom that everyone thought was useless but had like a really cool story attached to it from their family. And the cartoon we were watching with the lads, and we brought up like one of the episodes actually talks about how the meaning and value of a treasure or an artifact is in the story they can tell.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very heathen message.
Well, there's one, there's a chair. I believe it's in Ireland. I think so. I think it's in Ireland. It might even be in a church or something. But the chair had been touched and written on and sat in so much that the chair was falling apart, and they made a recreation of it.
Oh, I think that's the one in Buckingham Palace.
Oh, that might be it.
So, yeah, not Ireland, the other island.
Yeah, the other island. My other island. but, yeah, and the thing is that second chair is just as important as the first chair.
Well,
they did it very well because they took the first chair because it was falling apart and they put it in a case. Where they fucked up is they don't really let people handle the second chair, but we should, and be like, this is an exact recreation of the first one. When the second one wears out, it goes in a glass box right next to the first one and you create a third one. And the same thing can be done for that axe. When that axe deteriorates to the point where it's just falling apart, you take it, you put it in a case, you hold on to it as long as you can and make a recreation of it. The recreation is to be used and do it in as much detail as you can.
Well, we have something like that over here, across the pond, so to speak, which is the Constitution.
Yes.
The Constitution is kept in an airtight case so it doesn't literally fall apart.
Yes.
The one you see in museums is not the real one.
Yeah, the one that you see, I forgot what building it's in. But the one that you can go see, that's not the Constitution that the forefathers signed. The one that the forefathers signed is in a light-proof vacuum-sealed case because it's falling apart.
Well, same with...
But that doesn't make the one that we go see, that we can see, any less valuable.
Well, things like the Mona Lisa is only famous because it was stolen.
Mm-hmm. Well, so even the original Mona Lisa, we don't know that it's the original.
Stonehenge was reassembled because it fell over.
Yeah. Well, it's not the real Stonehenge because there was stones added and removed and it was stood back up. It's still Stonehenge.
Yes. It's the Ship of Theseus paradox.
Right. So long as it's in constant use, it still is.
Well, it's like we don't necessarily have every book that's ever, even the ones that we still have copies of today, we don't necessarily have first printing editions of all these books.
Well, one thing that happens to books if you leave them on a shelf, and I've shown you videos where this has happened, where they go into an old building and there's all these wonderful books on the shelf. And it's like, oh my goodness, how could somebody forget them? And then they touch them and the fucking things crumble because they're dust.
Yes, they're falling apart. It's why, like, the Vatican keeps all its archives stored. But, and this is another thing that I want to bring up, which is, as Americans, we have this tendency, especially pagans, I've noticed, not always, to devalue what is over here. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll fetishize our ancestral homelands or what the pagan...
And we get it. It's important.
Yes, it is. It is to understand your heritage from the old country, so to speak. But our ancestors came over here. They, in many cases, suffered, died, and worked crazy hard in order to just survive. Like, it was not easy to come over here. In many cases, you were moving into actively hostile territory with pretty much no... A lot of these people were not farmers. They weren't settlers. They weren't roughneck fighters. They were city people.
Yeah.
So...
And they were desperate.
Yeah.
And they had to learn on the fly. And yet they survived.
Well, and it also... Other people probably have a story like this, but there's this blood memory doesn't necessarily take thousands of years to work up. Because, like, there's a bird. This is going to sound odd, but there's a bird in America.
Fuck it. Let's get crazy for a minute.
Yes. There's a bird in America that I'm very fond of ever since I found out it existed. And I recently found out a story involving my ancestor Godfrey, who moved over into Nebraska and settled it and was part of the colonization of that area. And his family almost died. And the reason that they were able to survive and eventually thrive, because he had a fairly large family after a generation or two, was because they hunted prairie chickens. Mm-hmm. They weren't endangered at the time, but he hunted them. They ate them, which kept them from, you know, starving to death. And then he also was able to sell them at market, which kept them with enough money to, you know, again, not starve to death, mm-hmm. not freeze to death. So this bird is the reason my line is still alive. And I have a positive association with the bird as a result, potentially. I might also just like birds. But like you personally think the bird's butt ugly.
Yes.
Quite literally, you described it as looking like it had two butts.
It does. Yeah. What's the name of the bird again?
Greater prairie chicken.
Yeah, it's ugly.
I like it.
Well, and that's your prerogative. And I get it. I get why you would like it is because you exist because of that bird, because your ancestor, Godfrey, was able to feed his family with it.
Well, it's like localized heathen traditions like Erglave, which is still a little too formulated for my liking, but it's based off Pennsylvania Dutch folklore. So like Perchta, Frau Holda, the Eternal Hunter, all important there. And then on top of that, they have local traditions like the Distelfink, because the goldfinch, which is supposedly what the Distelfink is based on, used to eat thistle, thus protecting their fields and, just like the prairie chicken, keeping them alive, keeping them able to keep thriving. And they also have like Groundhog Day, which is a local tradition that descends from way older customs, and that's important to them.
Well, and like you said, a lot of people will devalue, a lot of people in America or the diaspora, Canada, Australia, whatever, they will.
Good day, mate.
Yeah, the dollary dues. I love the dollary dues. Anyways, they will devalue what they have because, well, the stuff in Europe is more important. No, honestly, it's not. Your grandfather's axe is no less important than a 1,000-year-old axe found in pick a place.
Well, and another thing people don't realize is.
And actually, your grandfather's axe should be more important to you because it's directly linked to you.
Yes, and you can directly keep it alive. But one thing people have actually mentioned, and a lot of people don't know this, and this is experts saying this, so take that with a grain of salt or a pack of sugar, depending on how you view that. But half of European culture supposedly exists in the diaspora. And I'm talking about the old stuff, mm-hmm. like folk songs, folk crafts, stuff like that.
The diaspora preserved a lot of old European things. A lot of our words, our speech patterns, our crafts are directly linked to the way that they used to be done, where in Europe they continued to move
Or they
forward.
Dropped certain things, or they lost
Or they
certain
just
things.
Stopped.
Well, because sometimes whole towns would empty out. What do you think happened to the cultures of that town? No one lived in that town after everyone left.
Well, and some
so they're
of
in
it's
the diaspora.
Some of it's very understandable. Like we was watching some video when we was doing some research. I forgot what they was making, but they clogs. The traditional making of clogs is dying off, including the painting of it. Why? Well, quite simply, because they can't make money at it.
Yeah.
There's like two guys in this one area that works on it, or works on them. And yeah, it's quite simply because there is no market for it. If there is no market for it, eventually it dies off.
Which is part of the issue that we're facing as in terms of preserving our culture. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that the winds are shifting because the overall global economy is kind of built on shaky ground. So anything that can outlast it has the potential to right. then pick up.
But there are, by the way, there are clog makers on this side of the pond.
Oh, yeah.
Who do actually decent. I mean, there's not a lot of them because, again, not very popular. But where was that other one? It was in the Netherlands, right?
Yeah.
And there's two guys left.
There's a few, but those are the two they focused on. And one made the shoes and one painted the shoes.
Right. Where over here, they're a little bit more popular for folksy stuff and decoration. And
well, it's very location.
The cost, like, because they have to feed their families, they have to charge more because less of them are being bought.
Yes. So the stuff that used to be peasant craft, to put it in a way like that.
Well, it comes back to the thing that we've noticed. Only rich people can afford to do what poor people did 100 years ago.
Yes. Used to be you just got lederhosen because it was what people wore. Now it's an expensive item that you wear to Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing is like Oktoberfest is a more recent tradition. Like I think it's actually younger than the United States. I could be wrong. I don't remember the exact time Oktoberfest started. But it's a way younger tradition. It's no less something you can do to have fun with people. That's yeah. the whole point of these festivals. There are extra elements like we've brought up like mating in midsummer or hibernation and the gathering of family around Yule and stuff like that and et cetera, et cetera. But you can have a blueberry festival in your local hometown or a burning barrel throwing contest.
Right.
You know, they get kind of weird in certain parts of Europe.
Well,
like you don't have a bad wild man tradition because it's not famous and gets its own movie franchise.
Well,
like Krampus.
Another thing too is all the individualism. Traditionally, we are very community focused. That's been kind of broken. And we've played into it ourselves. So one of the things that ancestral veneration actually does is it encourages community. How can you build community? Well, first of all, don't destroy your father's freaking axe. And show off your father's freaking axe.
Boasting is a part of our culture.
It is. Like, check this out. Isn't this cool? But besides that, a lot of people will go to the park. Take a bat and a ball or a ball and a glove. And if you see some people growing up with a kid, don't ask just the kid because that's very questionable in today's world.
Yes.
But ask the father and the son, do you want to play catch? Mother and son, do you want to play catch? Or mother and daughter, whatever. You guys want to play catch? I brought a ball.
Well, it's like
worst that's going to happen is they look at you like you're fucking crazy and run away screaming. That is worst case scenario.
Well, and I was actually talking to some friends about this earlier with our women. Our women are naturally hyper tribal,
mm-hmm.
like the type to pick a small scale war over a baking contest. But what's happened is they are simultaneously super tribal, which is part of their instinct. And then on top of that, they are they tend to follow, not always, but tend to be more likely to follow the current social mores mm-hmm. to try and fit in. The current social mores are very anti-tribal.
Yeah.
Which as a result must be absolutely freaking maddening for our females because it causes two conflicting instincts. So I think that's why like our females will get super into sports, even if they don't like sports. They'll be like, the Cowboys have to win, but you live in Maine. I don't care.
Right.
The Cowboys must win.
Yeah, it's that tribal nature and doing something for the tribe. Now, the idea is to bring the tribe closer to home.
Yes. Well, this is our home. This is where our men are. This is where our children are. I don't need to hear about that bitch Tiffany a town over.
Right. So there are fixes to all of this. And part of it, too, is realizing we're not all Vikings and that's okay.
Well, and we've actually talked about this as well, which is the blood memory, the folk spirit. There's a bunch of different names going around, but basically the ancestral memory that our people get. Remains like the example of the prairie chicken, or maybe it's because you're able to do music a bit better because you've had ancestors that have played music for generations and generations or stuff like that. But one example that's really small and we never really talk about is doodling.
Oh yeah,
because like I realize
cave art,
like the little children painting on the walls,
scratching out designs on a random stick,
chalk on the sidewalk. They're following their instincts, but it's also like when you're just doodling in the margins of your notes in class, like I didn't realize till I was an adult, most of the doodles I do are actually very bad examples of German folk art.
Right.
I do a lot of ivy. I do a lot of flower. Yes, as a man, I do a lot of flowers, a lot of faces, just faces
and those
places.
Weird birds that the Germans do.
Yeah, I like doing those. And then you actually did a lot of like Gaelic style art mm-hmm. when you were doing it. Like
the swirls would be very swirly, but everything else would be extremely blocky even when I drew people. And it's not that I couldn't do near photorealistic, because I couldn't do photorealistic, but I could do like comic book quality where people thought that I was buying these images or scanned them from a comic book. So I can do those, or I could when I was drawing all the time, but most of my images for people, places, and things would be really blocky, where the knot work, the scroll work, would just be very, very flowy and very intricate.
Well, yeah, and this is another thing, is these folk patterns that are, people hear like folk art, like German folk art, and they think it's like 500, 1,000 maybe years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find some old example from like 2,000 years old. Like, we don't know how old a lot of these folk art designs are.
Or even figures. Like, well, see, Reynard wasn't written about until 17, whatever, or whatever fucking year.
Oh, actually, he was popular for like 1,000 years.
Right.
People don't know
right.
where
Right, which
he...
was admitted to, but you got other people. Before he was written down, he didn't exist. He didn't exist until this guy wrote down these stories. And it's like, no, it was admitted even at the time that it was based off from older stories.
Oh, almost everything we do is based off of older stories. Even things
while
like...
While we're imaginative, we actually don't really make things up.
We constantly build. So, like, Dune is built upon old stuff. Lord of the Rings is built upon old stuff. And a lot of things are built on Dune and Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. And... this ties into even something people don't think, like archery. Like, most people don't do archery anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up, is when I started teaching you archery, and then we started sharing some of the groupings, and people's like, oh, man, I wish I could do that, and I wish I could get groupings like that. And without even thinking about it, I responded, you can. It'll take some practice, but a billion arrows have been fired through your bloodline since the dawn of time. It is easy enough for you to learn how to do this. All you have to do is start, and it will come to you.
Oh, yeah. Well, and here's, I brought up the forest one, but there's actually another myth that a lot of our tribe share, which is the bear as forest cousin, the bear as ancestor, the bear as brother, mm-hmm. brother bear. or something like that, or grandfather. Old Man of the Mountain is actually one of the old titles for the bear, or as Lewis and Clark eventually learned to call him after they were terrified witless of them, the gentleman.
Yes. So, but you understand with the bow, for somebody that's never done archery before, you're not going to pick it up and just be an instant master just because a billion arrows have flown from your bloodline. No, you still have to practice.
Well, it's like if you have dozens of piano players in your bloodline, you still have to practice. You just might pick it up faster.
Yeah. Yeah, something will click for you that somebody else who doesn't has to just consistently work at.
Well, and that's part of how passing forward your family's will. Because every time you develop a skill, whether you believe it's a spiritual thing or a scientific thing or whatever, that will pass on. It's like the people that have a stroke and all of a sudden speak in a different language.
Yeah.
So how many of these languages are stored?
Well, in genetic memory, it's starting to gain traction.
Well,
but here's the thing. It can skip generations. So just because your parents both are master musicians on whatever instrument, you might have zero artistic talent, but you are a wonderful mechanic.
Well, that's like me and my brother. Both my parents played instruments. Their parents, I think, played instruments, or at least some of them, and on and on and on. My brother can play like four or five instruments, or he could. I can't play any.
Yeah, you can barely play the radio.
Yes.
So there, things do skip generations. Like, I don't know, both of your parents might be musicians, but your great-grandfather worked on building, I don't know, fucking grain mills or something like that. So then you end up developing a mechanic trait.
Well, you also have things like mother tongues, because we've commented on it before. It's almost like our brains or our way of thinking is tied partially to our ancestral mother tongues.
Well, because it's a real easy habit to fall into. I notice when people start reading older texts, they begin spelling unconsciously in the older ways, and even the grammar starts working its way in.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like there are words that I've always been trying to find that I only found after I looked into German. Like Schadenfreude is probably my favorite. And like Krua is one for you in the Gaelic languages. So our brains are trying to find these words, and it's like, I know it's in the Rolodex somewhere. And it's like, no, not that one. You need this one.
Right. So sometimes when you can't find that word and you're digging through your English Rolodex, it might not be there.
Yeah.
It might be in some language that you don't even know, but you know that there's a word for it that perfectly encapsulates this idea. Now, that can run into problems, like which language is it?
Yes. Well, and that's the other thing is, like, I'm not against speaking English. I speak English because, one, it's the language I grew up learning and speaking. But also, it's a very useful language. It's got a lot of options. It's actually become dumber, and it's still more useful than most languages. Mm-hmm. But that's why we will focus on the meaning of words and vocabulary, like natal and nation, and how they're inherently tied. There is no such thing as a non-related by blood and history nation. Right. It doesn't exist.
Or one of my favorite examples is mad, angry, and fury. These do not mean the same thing.
No, and people will try to make them mean the same thing because then it ties into other things. And that comes kind of full circle back to the fireman's axe that he wants to make Norse to deface his father's axe.
Because let's be honest, that's what it is.
Yes. We can say all the words, we can do all the things, we can talk about how we're honoring our ancestors by following the pagan ways, but then we do something like that, and it becomes very obvious it's not that. It's an aesthetic, or it's a hobby, or it's a club, or something. And none of those things are inherently wrong, but it's not ethnic faith. It's not ancestral way. It's not paganism. It's not heathenry. It's just an aesthetic at that point. And again, nothing wrong with that any more than being really into Art Deco or Cubism.
Well, and to tie back into something else I brought up, which is the control of the flow of information. Currently, right now, if you look, everywhere and everything was Viking. If you back up a few, just a few decades, the people on Albion, the Celts and the Gaels and even the Gauls didn't have any culture, no stories, no gods. It was all the Romans because the Romans were there. And the Romans brought them their stories. And the Romans taught them how to make clothes. And the Romans gave them their weapons and their armor and their stories and the food and got them to stop shitting in their caves and eating it because they didn't have anything else to eat. And before that, a couple centuries ago, it was the Greeks. And the Greeks conquered everything. And they brought culture and life and food to all of Europe and all of the European tribes. And before that, it was the Gaels, or specifically the Celtic tribes. They were everywhere, and nobody could do anything without their Irish overlords, because I'm not sure on the details on that, because that's actually several centuries old, and it's been a while since I've looked at it. But the thing is we've always been everywhere through our homelands. There's been interactions. We are not all the same, but we're not all so drastically different either, because we still all have the same basic concept of don't kick a freaking puppy.
Yes. Well,
don't burn an animal to death. The only ones that do that, we have a name for those. They're called monsters. None of us will sanction cannibalism.
Or rape
or any of these things. We find it revulsive. This is our shared biospirit, because we are the same species. We are the same species.
The human animal.
Yes, we are the humans. The others are others. But we are the humans, and we share a shared biospirit as Hyperboreans. We're all unique. Like, you are not your brother. Your brother is not your sister.
The Germans are not the Scandinavians. The Irish are not the Spanish. And on and on.
And we do trade, and we war with each other, and this accounts for how different things get around. Now, was there a Celtic Empire? Yes. Yes, there was. Sorry. There was. This is what they called themselves, was the Celts. Eventually, that stopped. They stopped calling themselves Celts. They start calling themselves people of this and people of that. And then there was the whole Roman thing that happened, where anybody on that side of the river, those are Germanics. Everybody else is Celts.
Well, yeah, at some point they basically just subdivided, and this side was that and this side was this. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. But, and this ties into just when it comes to our own ancestors, we tend to think that because they were in the past, they acted very different from us. And yes, there are cultural differences, but there's also so many similarities. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at our grandparents, they might act a bit different in the sense that they are older, wiser. They lived in a different time period than we did, at least in their formative years. But they're still recognizably us. And then you read stuff that's written about stuff that happened 200 years ago. There might be some cultural or historic quirks, but we still can see our own people in that. Books written 1,000 years ago, we can still see our people in that. 2,000 years ago, we were still graffitiing that I got laid here and writing epithets for our dog.
Right, and we got to be careful of religion.
Epitaphs.
And we got to be careful of the concept of religion, which is exactly this control of the flow of information. It's all about making religions, whether it's the Viking religion, Roman religion, Indo-European, or Greek, whatever. It's all about making a religion, because if you can control the religion, you can control the people and their behaviors. If you need proof of this, just look at how the Christians behaved in the name of their religion.
Well, they don't even like the Olympics. They're actively attacking it for being too pagan.
Look at how our people believe or behave when they adopt Islam. Look at how our people behave when they adopt Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever.
It's all about control.
Right. Yes, that base instinct is still there, but they can fight it. You can fight your own instincts. Go figure, right?
Well, the way to put it is we're all born pagan. We're all born heathen, more or less. But we can choose not to be. Mm-hmm. And we can choose to ignore that.
We can choose to be cruel, even though most of us inherently are not.
We can choose to be bad people. We can choose to ignore our own nature. We can choose all these things that are harmful to ourselves and others. That doesn't make it natural. You are not inherently born a Christian. You are not inherently born a Muslim. You are not inherently born a Dharmic faith practitioner. You are not inherently born a Democrat or Republican or a communist. We are born who and what we are, like our ancestors before us.
Yeah, we are the seeds of gods.
Yes, godkin. Quite simply,
we are godkin. So we're right here at the end, and that hour went by way quicker than I expected. I think we got one more show next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah, I guess I'll see you guys next week. And if you've noticed these things and you made it this far, first of all, if you made it this far, congratulations. But if you've noticed all these things and you're like, these guys aren't saying anything new, congratulations. You now know that you're not alone.
And I'll just say, if you want to venerate your ancestors, be a good person, be a strong person, and be great for those around you.